We're live and we're local. This is a Juno Afternoon. It's Thursday, July 2nd, 2018, and I'm your host, Shelley Delaney. On today's show, we'll get our weekly update from Juno Public Libraries with Kate Inge. Enrique Bravo will highlight upcoming performances by Summer Theater Arts Rendezvous, a.k.a. STAR. We'll also get the details about the voter registration open house from the Division of Elections that's coming up next Tuesday, and we'll also get our weekly arts and culture activities update on Arts Up. Those interviews, plus National Native News, which is coming up next, Bird Note, music, and more right here on a Juno Afternoon. First, the weather. Numerous rain showers with highs around 60 degrees today. Tonight, mostly cloudy with lows in the mid-40s. Tomorrow, sunny, highs around 70. National Native News is next.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Red Fawn Fallis, the Native woman accused of firing a gun at officers in North Dakota during a demonstration against the Dakota Access Pipeline, was sentenced Wednesday to 57 months in federal prison following a January plea agreement. She faced up to 10 years for two charges and has been incarcerated since October 2016. The judge recommended she serve time in Phoenix or Tucson to be around other Native women. In a press release, the Water Protector Legal Collective states she's the second person arrested at Standing Rock to be sentenced to a substantial prison term, and the second of five federal cases the legal collective is working to close. According to the legal group, there have been more than 800 state criminal cases, and as of June, more than 150 are ongoing. A group of Native youth are credited with starting the No DAPL movement in the summer of 2016 to protect water and the environment, which led to months of activity and camps in North Dakota. The pipeline has been operating for a year. The CBC reports an Indigenous prayer camp has been set up near the U.S.-Canada border. People are opposing the Enbridge Line 3 project, which will replace more than 1,000 miles with new pipeline and facilities in both countries. Those at the Spirit of the Buffalo Camp in Manitoba want to stop construction, which is reportedly underway in two provinces and expected to start soon in Manitoba. Opposition of the project includes Native groups concerned about environmental and cultural resources. Supporters and company officials say the pipeline is decades old and needs to be replaced. The camp is about 60 miles south of Winnipeg. A new report explores how Native Americans are perceived in the United States. As Eric Tigetoff reports, one of the project leaders believes it's the largest public opinion research project about Native Americans.
Crystal Echohawk says the goal of the report, Reclaiming Native Truth, is to find out about the dominant narratives and perceptions of Native people from a diverse group of Americans. It includes focus groups spanning 11 states and every race. Echohawk says toxic and contradictory stereotypes about Native Americans persist, such as ideas that they're dependent on the government, but also flush with casino money.
What we actually found was the biggest barrier that Native Americans face is invisibility and erasure. And the fact that you don't see Native peoples in the media, you don't see them on TV and film. And in fact, almost 50% of K-12 schools in the United States don't teach about Native Americans past 1890.
Nearly three-quarters of respondents said schools need to make curriculum changes to Native American culture and history. Echohawk praises Montana's work on this front. She hopes the report also acts as a roadmap to create more positive perceptions of Native Americans. Echohawk Consulting partnered with First Nations Development Institute on the project. So many negative stereotypes have a direct effect on Native people's well-being, Echohawk says. That's especially important in Montana. Not only does the state have the country's highest suicide rate, but it is highest among Native Americans. Echohawk says suicide is one of the biggest issues Native American communities face, and it's an especially big problem among youth.
When we first started this project, we actually were challenged by a number of Native American youth who came and spoke to the leaders of the project and said, "We need you to do this for us. We're counting on you." So it's really that sense of responsibility to our children that was a big driver.
Echohawk hopes the report can begin a healing process for communities.
This is really about how do we see one another first and foremost as human beings and not stereotypes and caricatures. And that applies to all different types of people in society. And I think there's a longing right now for people wanting to get out of this sort of toxicity.
I'm Eric Tegedoff.
Horse riders are traveling through several Navajo communities this week, making their way to the Navajo Nation capital. The horse ride is an annual tradition honoring past leaders who rode on horseback or in wagons from their homes to tribal council meetings. Along the way, they would visit with community members to take their concerns and advocate for them at council sessions. The tribal council will welcome the riders Monday in Window Rock, Arizona. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation. Funding is by Odawi Law Group, provider of Indian Law Solutions, and by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite System.
Support by the American Indian Tourism Conference, providing technical resources and education to advance and develop tourism programs in Indian Country. Early bird registration ends July 31st at AITC2018.com. Support by Humboldt State University. We know what it means to be rooted in community. You can get your master's degree and amplify your voice without leaving your community. Online program applications accepted from August 1st to 31st at humboldt.edu/socialwork.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney, and my first guest is Kate Inge, back again with our weekly Juno Public Library update.
Yeah, here I am.
Yeah, welcome back to the show, and thanks for coming in.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So you're the Grants and Marketing Coordinator for Juno Public Libraries, and every Thursday you come and see us and give us an update on the library's like weekend and week-to-come activities. But first, let's talk books, because you are sort of a librarian. We were just discussing that.
Yeah.
Like, you are considered a librarian by your peers and by patrons sometimes, even though that's not your official title. But you do have an MLS.
I do have a, I did get my MLS.
And are you a bookworm?
I am a bookworm. I've pretty much read my, like, growing up, my entire life. All my family members on both sides, like my mom's family and my dad's family, they were all readers as well. So I just kind of always grew up with just a steady stream of books available to me. And my first job, my first non-family, you know, related job was the page at the Petersburg Public Library. So I was shelving books and checking books in, and then kind of made my slow way around to the Juno Public Library. But I'm very happy that
in Petersburg, they have a new library now, right?
Yeah, just a couple years old. It opened. I was there at the dedication with my grandma, who was on the library board in Petersburg a long time ago, and it was a very beautiful facility. And
it's a gorgeous space. Yeah, if you're ever down there, please stop and see the library. And anytime I get anybody from the library in here, I always want to know, what are you reading right now?
So right now I'm reading, let's see if I can remember the title. I think it's The Girl Who Takes an Eye for an Eye, and it's like the fifth book in that Lisbeth Salander book series that started off with The Girl with a Dragon Tattoo. And this book isn't, I don't know who the author is. And it's a different author than the first original trilogy.
Right, because he's deceased.
He passed away. But apparently the family gave it to this other, like, I think Scandinavian crime author. And he's been writing more books in the series.
That's interesting. I've been dubious of these newer books in the series by the different authors, so I haven't read them yet, but what do you think? Do you recommend them?
I recommend them. I like them. The previous one before this one, whose title is even more confusing, all the titles seem to be kind of long and confusing. I think it's like Girl
Pot
in a Spider's Web or something like that. I think there's actually a movie coming out later this year, so that's kind of what was the kind of gave me the little kick to check it out and see if I liked it as much as I did with the first three.
All right. Well, you've piqued my curiosity. I'm reading World of Trouble right now. It's number three in the Last Policeman series.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So not too far into it yet, but enjoying it. All right. Back to business.
Okay.
So what's on the library's agenda for the next 7 days or so?
Okay. So I think the next big thing we have is another movie night tonight. It is at 5:30 at the Valley Public Library. And it's to go along with our Great American Read. So we're showing a movie. It's on one of the classic books. I can give like a little brief synopsis. It's about a family in England who's kind of having issues with marriage and morality and that kind of. It's a bunch of sisters who have a little bit of trouble. So hopefully you can stop by and take a look. And if not, then I'm sure we'll have another movie coming up in a couple weeks.
Okay. And remind us again, what is the Great American Read? And
So it's part of our summer reading program for adults. So I think kids could definitely look at the list and read a couple things if they want to. There are a list of 100 books that PBS put up. And we're using that to kind of as a jumping off point for people to read and then write a review, and you turn it into any of the three branches of the public library. And sorry, I lost my train of thought.
Sorry, I distracted you.
We're going to be pulling prizes at the end of the summer. They don't know what the prizes are yet, but we generally get like gift certificates or maybe a device of some sort.
I checked out the reading list today. I finally went to the website of the Great American Read.
Yeah.
Strongly recommend it. A lot of my a lot of classics on the list that I've read, maybe like in high school or middle school. Also, some new favorites are on the list too.
Yeah,
and then a bunch that I haven't read yet. So I'm really excited to like work my way through it.
Yeah, there's like a wide variety. Like I think everybody can find at least one or two books that they might want to check out.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So yeah, a really good selection. I was pleased with the choices. I was happy. All right. And so the other thing you want to talk about today were some new technology that the library is working with.
Like new and old. We have a couple databases for ebooks, ebooks and e-audiobooks, which have become very popular over the last couple years. One of them that we've had for several years now is called Alaska Digital Library. It used to be called Listen Alaska because I think its first offering was just audiobooks.
Mm-hmm.
But now there's audiobooks and ebooks. And more specifically, there's an app that you can get. They call it Libby because I think it's kind of a play on being a library-related app.
Oh, yeah. I get it. Libby.
And you can use Libby and your library card to borrow ebooks and e-audiobooks. And some people might be used to the other app you can use is the OverDrive app, but we've heard complaints from patrons saying that it's like kind of convoluted. It's kind of hard to work through, and the Libby app is more streamlined, kind of more easy. You know, sign in, get your book. You know, it tries to make everything simple for people.
Okay, yeah. So now I have a lot of questions about that because I consider myself to be an OverDrive super user.
Mm-hmm.
I use it for both ebooks and audiobooks. And I might share some of those complaints, but one thing I think is great is that if they don't have the book available, it gives you the option to recommend it.
Yeah.
And when you recommend it, I think you become like pretty much at the top of the wait list because I seem to get – there seems to be pretty relatively fast turnaround on those that
I
recommend.
Yeah, if you recommend the book, then we'll – and then we make sure that – we put it on hold for you so that you get it after we buy it.
Does Libby do that as well?
That's a good question.
A stumper.
Yeah, a stumper. It might do that. Like a lot of times I go through like the use my computer to go through my account and recommend books and stuff. And then I get when a hold comes available, then I download it to the OverDrive app. But I think you can, I know in the OverDrive app, you can like get to the browser and, recommend titles. So you might be able to do it with Libby.
Okay.
If not, you can always just call us and ask us to, buy a title for you.
Okay. And with OverDrive, I can get books that I can get them, via OverDrive to my Kindle app or my Kindle device. Can you do that with Libby as well?
Oh, that's another good one.
Sorry, I warned you.
Oh boy, now I'm going to have to go home and download Libby myself.
But you can read it through the app itself, right?
You
so you don't necessarily need to
app,
transfer to Kindle.
I'm hoping that if you go through your accounts, you can say, "Oh yeah, no, I want to get it through this other way," going to Amazon and then going to your Kindle app, because that's what I do. I use my Kindle app on my. I think I have a Kindle Paperweight that I use.
And then is the selection the same through Libby and through OverDrive?
Yeah. Oh, that one I definitely know. It is the same.
Good.
Yeah, they're the exact same resource. It's just kind of like a different way of looking at it and accessing the books that we own. And we kind of jointly belong, have Alaska Digital Library. Like, we buy our own books, and sometimes we are part of a big pot, like of Alaska State Library, libraries across the state who all share the same resources. So sometimes you might put an item on hold and not think you're going to get it very quickly, and then all of a sudden get an email like the next day or so just because we actually have a copy that came available faster than the one that everybody else is looking at.
I confess I use a combination of OverDrive for audiobooks and for ebooks, and I also request online hard copies, especially, you know, depending on when I want it or what I want it for. It's just a remarkable service, and I am so grateful that I have it. Otherwise, I'd be spending hundreds of dollars on books.
That's the thing. I'm very happy that I work at the library, because I think if I worked someplace else or if I worked at the bookstore, I think I probably would have spent my whole paycheck on books. And so this is a great resource for everybody.
Yeah. And, you know, there might be a little bit of wait here and there, but yeah. I think books come in surprisingly fast as well. You do get surprised sometimes. I'll put up like 5 requests and then I've got 3 all at once and don't know how I'm going to get through it all. But
yeah.
It's a good problem to have.
It is kind of like the library Murphy's Law, where you put books on hold and they all will come at the same time instead of staggered. Like, it always seems to happen that way.
Well, I'm not complaining about that. And then did you want to talk about Hoopla? This is another... It's for the computer, I think, more than your device.
Computer and for devices.
Okay.
So Hoopla is kind of like one of our newer databases. It's also for electronic books and audiobooks, but it also has comics, I think music, movies, and television for both adults and for kids. So there's a wider range of material that you have access to. Not the same... titles as, say, Overdrive. Like, there might be a little bit of overlap, but there's kind of like some different stuff that you have access to. And the main difference between Hoopla and Alaska Digital Library is there's no wait for the Hoopla items. You can check things out, and then we kind of get there's like some library magic on the back end, and and then like that we deal with it. So everybody has 5 kind of like checkouts, I'm using air quotes here, that you have per month that you can spend among all the different items, and you immediately check it out. You can download it. Like, there is an app that you can use on your device if you don't want to be tied to your computer, and then you can like read or listen or watch. And then after a 3-week period of time, it just kind of poofs off your device.
Hmm. Well, all that is awesome, and I look forward to checking it out. I have tried both Hoopla and Libby, and I've had a little bit of trouble with each, and I've also had trouble with Overdrive. So what can we do if we're trying to adopt this new technology and struggling a little bit?
So we have a couple different things that you and listeners can do. We do have, through the Juneau Public Library website, where you go to find each database. Some of them will have tutorials, and both Overdrive and Libby, I believe, and Hoopla all have tutorials that you can watch to kind of maybe answer some basic questions. If that's still giving you a hard time, you can give any of the 3 branches of the library a call, and staff should be able to try and work through kind of like some more easier issues. And if not, we can have you talk to Andy Hirsch, who's our outreach librarian, and she can kind of help and work some magic and hopefully kind of either over the phone or one-on-one help teach you how to use your device and these databases that we have access to.
I'm committing right now to making sure I got all 3 of them working by the next time you come in to see me, Kate.
Okay.
Well, thanks so much for being here. So we've got the Great American Read movie night tomorrow.
It's tonight.
Oh, excuse me. Sorry.
Tonight,
5:30 p.m. at the Valley Library. Don't miss that. And then thanks so much for answering all my questions about these databases, Hoopla, Libby, and Overdrive. Anything else you want to talk about today?
Nope. I think that's it. Like, I'll come back next week
with some more.
We have a lot of programs happening, a lot more like movie nights to talk about. So
great.
And books.
Fantastic. Well, Kate, thanks again so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
See you next week.
Okay.
You're listening to A Juno Afternoon. It's about 23 minutes after the hour. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney, and my next guests are the famous Enrique Bravo and the soon-to-be-famous Cadence Wood. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks for being here. You're both here representing Perseverance Theater, mm-hmm. specifically to talk about the program called STAR. What is STAR?
STAR is this five-week-long summer theater program that we do every year. It's great. It ranges from ages 10 to 18, and there's three separate shows that we do. For the past few years, it's been sort of three separate categories. So there's a Shakespeare, or usually like a classical, but there's also a musical and then a device piece. So each of them has their own sort of genre.
A device piece?
Yeah, a device piece. So that's extreme theater. That's what it's called. And that's K. Brian Neal is the director. He comes in from Seattle. And so these kids build this show from the ground up. And so the script is something that they create while they're in rehearsals. In fact, they just finished their script probably a few days ago, and I just looked at it. It's so good.
That is a lot to pack in 5 weeks, though.
Yeah, it's great. So it's a pretty well-oiled machine at this point. They've all done it. Luckily, I was very fortunate in that all the directors from last year returned. We have, really great musical director in Missouri Smythe and Don Colden, who directs a musical. And K. Brian Neal and Donnie Gott are basically the directors, and they all have all come back. So it makes things run a lot smoother. And I also have a couple of interns that help me out throughout the summer.
And how long have you been, what's your role in STAR? How long have you been doing it?
Well, I took over the education director role earlier this year. So the spring break camp and now Young Company, and this is the third thing that I've sort of taken over. This is the biggest education program, though, that happens throughout the year. Since, like I said, it is 5 weeks and it culminates in three shows doing performances, which is really great. It starts June 25th and goes all the way till July 29th.
And Cadence Wood, you are a young performer in one of the productions. Would you like to tell us a little bit about the one that you're playing in?
Sure. So the one I'm playing is basically a story about a girl named T-Moon and basically her journey as going from an orphan to love a wealthy man. And it's basically about two different worlds on one island, mm-hmm. and basically how the gods control her life.
And what's the title of the show?
Once on This Island, Junior.
It's Junior because it's an adaptation for young performers.
Right, yeah. Exactly. So it's a condensed version of the full-length musical, which that musical actually won the Tony this year, so as Best Revival. So it's really great. It's just kind of fortunate that we happened to be doing it at the same year. So it's really great that people can hear this music because it's got great music.
Yeah, and even though it's different, it is based on a famous Disney movie. Do you know which one?
The Little Mermaid.
That's right.
That's right, correct.
But the story's probably a lot different, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, but she did that was a good summary of what happens in that show, yeah.
Yeah, very good job. And what part do you play in the musical?
Well, I'm in... So a lot of times there are extras for just singing background. We're all storytellers, basically storytellers. We mean storytellers telling the story. And I'm the little version of T-Moon. So I'm little T-Moon. I'm a peasant girl. And I'm also little girl. And all of these, they aren't really names. They're more just like the summary of what I am. And I'm also a gossiper and a villager, which are extras.
Does it all, folks.
Does that like you play like five parts?
Yeah, it's great.
Oh, that's fantastic. And is this your first time participating in STAR?
No, I participated in it more. Last year, I did the other musical for the first time, The Lion King.
Cool. All right. So which one of the productions are you looking forward to the most?
I think they're all – that's what I sort of appreciated. Well, the one that we haven't talked about, which is also great, is the Shakespeare, which is As You Like It. That centers around Rosalind, who's also – she's banished. And so in order to sort of woo the boy that she's fallen in love with, Orlando, she herself – turns into a boy and acts as a tutor for Orlando, basically feeding him how she would like to be wooed. And so it's really great. There's a lot of misdirection as far as characters are concerned, but it also has some really great poetry in it. The Jake Lee speech about all the world's a stage is in that. It's really, yeah, and that's a huge cast too. The musical and the Shakespeare both have pretty big casts, about I think 16 and 18, whereas the Extreme Theater is a smaller class, about 8. But I can't stress how cool it is to watch these directors do their thing, you know, because like I said, each of them has their own individual, like with the Shakespeare, it's a language piece. So you got to teach, you know, these youngsters a heightened language piece, where the musical, there's choreographer and there's choreography and music that's going on, harmonies. And then the devised piece, I mean, they're basically coming up with the material on their own. And that, I really am excited because that's sort of a based around monsters right now. It's called, the subtitle is Monsters Within, but they even have, I don't want to give too much away, but there's a one scene where it's like a monster group therapy, and so all these monsters show up and they're like talking about their problems, you know, werewolves having to eat people when the moon comes up. So really, really funny stuff. I'm really looking forward to how all these come to fruition. So
all right. So which one can we see first?
The first one is actually Once on This Island Junior. So that starts July 20th, which is next Friday at 7:30 p.m. And there's four performances of the musical. So, and that's on July 20th, July 22nd, July 27th, July 29th. But it's actually just easier for you guys to check it out on the website. They actually end the whole thing too. So performances start next Friday and they go all the way to July 29th. And yeah, you can get tickets online under our education page, or you can call the theater at 463-8497.
Cadence, how long have you been rehearsing for this play?
Ever since we started on the first day that it started, we got handed a disc and it had all 15 songs, and the first couple of days and every day leading up to that, we work on some of the songs and we work on singing them. And after you get home, you also have to do more work. You have to listen to the CD, practice singing and dancing, and so basically every day since it started.
Yeah, so June 25th.
Have you been having a good time with that?
Yeah, but it can be a lot of work to do.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So the show opens in about 8 days. Are you going to be ready?
Well, because I'm the little version of everything, I don't have that many lines. Like so it's pretty easy. But like the dancing and the singing isn't that hard. It's more like the dancing is hard. I have to memorize in the song play. I have a complicated dance.
Ooh, I can't wait to see it.
Some great stuff.
Do you ever get nervous? Do you get stage fright?
When I'm singing, before I've gotten stage fright. And every time right before it, I get stage fright, but before the entrance, but not really while I'm doing it, not that much.
Is that normal, Enrique? You're a seasoned performer.
That's pretty accurate. Yeah, usually it's right before, but when you're in it, you're focused, right? And you're the character, so.
Like Don always says, you're tense up stage, but afterwards you're relaxed.
Yeah, there you go.
Enrique, which one of these productions is keeping you up at night?
I think they all are, actually. No, and, you know, especially since this is the first time I'm taking over this program, a lot of it's gone a lot smoother. I should say we've had some great designers that have joined the team as well. Sarah Moretz, who's from out of town, she's, you know, because that's the thing. You ultimately have to design a set that fits all three shows, that, you know, there's parts of it that are interchangeable and movable, but you want something that's a sort of blueprint that everyone can use. So we're about to go into tech, which tech is always fun, no matter what. But I think they've all been running pretty swimmingly. I'm pretty happy with the progress.
Okay, cool. Well, the shows start July 20th, and all the performance information is available at ptalaska.org. Mm-hmm. So we've been talking with Enrique Bravo and Cadence Wood about STAR, and that stands for, remind me again?
Summer Theater Arts Rendezvous.
I didn't have my cheat sheet.
That was fun.
Well, thank you both for being here, and break a leg.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Star. system tries to bring you down.
Want to work at a job that contributes to the health of your community? Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium, or SEARCH, is hiring. SEARCH offers full-time jobs that include health, vision, and dental benefits, as well as paid time off and retirement savings. If you want to take your career to the next level, check out search.org/jobs. That's search.org/jobs. And view all open positions. Start a rewarding career helping others at SEARCH. The career you've imagined is here. SEARCH. Healthy is here.
Or you're listening to a Juno Afternoon. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney, and my next guest is Lori Wilson. She's the Region 1 Election Supervisor for the State of Alaska Division of Elections. Welcome to a Juno Afternoon.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
I'm glad to have you. For starters, can you please tell us a little bit about what you do at the Division of Elections?
Sure. I'm the Region 1 Supervisor here in Juno, and I oversee and conduct state-conducted elections for Southeast Alaska, Kenai Peninsula Borough, Kodiak, and that's pretty much my area that I cover.
What does that mean to oversee elections?
Sure. So we recruit workers for all of our precincts in those voting areas, and then I oversee to make sure that they get training, they get ballots, everything that has to do with conducting election, all their supplies for the polling place for election day, all those things, and all the absentee voting and early voting that occurs in those locations as well as part of our responsibilities.
I'm sure people are wondering how secure the election process is and how secure the results are and everything with all that's happening in the news. But I understand it's pretty tight.
Yeah, we have the division has historically had some really good audit processes in place, and we continue to do that. And we continue to advance in those just as technology and things advances. We, stay on top of those to make sure that those results are secure.
Have you been the Region 1 Election Supervisor for a long time?
Since 2013, and prior to that, I was in the director's office for nearly 20 years doing various other positions there.
How many elections is that?
Oh, my goodness. Since 1996, I believe, was my first election.
Wow. That's quite a bit. And also, the Division of Elections has been hanging out in our studio at 360 North this week. Do you know anything about what's going on with that?
Yeah, it was so great. The KTOO staff at 360 North Studio was really great. We did a live stream training for some of our election workers yesterday. So some of the outlying communities in Southeast Alaska, we flew some people into the Juneau studio to be here in person. And then we also did a live stream to some of our communities in the outlying areas like Haines and Skagway and Petersburg and Whale Pass, some of those areas out there, so that they could participate via live stream and get our election training done for this year.
What a terrific service.
Yeah.
How did it go?
Excellent. Your staff is always great, and we enjoy working with the camera crew, and just the studio is always really a pleasant place to work. And it really gives our workers an opportunity to have a zoom in on some of the technical stuff that we're doing during training. So when we have a large audience that's not in a studio, you know, we hand them more materials so they can see it. But in the studio, we have the opportunity to zoom in so they can look at the camera, and they really get a great close up. So everybody gets the same information on that zoom in, and they seem to really like that.
Well, I'm really glad to hear it. I'm glad to hear that it went well and that everybody had a good time and that it was useful.
It was. Thank you.
Well, today you're here on the radio, not TV, to talk about the open house that's happening on Tuesday. That's July 17th in your Region 1 office, which is in the Valley. What motivated you to put on this event?
The division is trying to do more outreach in areas of election processes, whether it's from the voter registration or in training or the actual voting part of elections. And so we do have a new media outreach communication coordinator, and she approached me if I wanted to do an open house at my office. So I said, yeah, I'd be happy to. That sounds like fun.
And it's from 2 to 5 on the 17th. And what's the goal?
The goal is we just want to remind voters, because it's busy and it's summertime and people forget about voting and that the primary election is coming up in August. So we just want to remind them of the voter registration deadline that's coming up on July 22nd. And for the primary election, that means that you can update your registration, like if you want to change your residence address, your name, your party affiliation, those things that are particular to the primary. We want to make sure you do that by July 22nd. Or for people who aren't registered to vote yet and would like to be, we want to make sure that you do that by July 22nd.
Gotcha. So July 22nd is the deadline. Mm-hmm. And you can go and do that in person in the Region 1 office, which is, what is the location of that?
Our location is out at the Mendenhall Mall. And so we're at 9109 Mendenhall Mall Road, Suite 3. And that is actually right down near State Farm. So I'll do a plug for them, I guess. So we're right across the hall from them down in the annex part of the Mendenhall Mall.
And that's the same location where you've had early voting before?
Mm-hmm, that's correct. So we do early voting, and if you want me to, I can go into a plug about early voting since we're talking about it.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, so early voting will start on August 6th for the primary election, and we have various locations for absentee in-person voting, which also starts 15 days before the election on August 6th, and then various locations around the state where we do the early voting process. Same time period. So voters can vote ahead of the polls if they're not going to be here, or Alaska is a no excuse state for absentee or early voting. So anybody can come and vote early August 6th. So if you just want to come and vote and get that taken care of before Election Day, you can do that beginning August 6th.
I've really voted before. I think it's a good way to go. I enjoyed the experience, and you guys make it very easy.
Oh, great.
So
thank you.
And then what are some other ways that people can register to vote,
sure,
apart from coming into your office?
Sure. We have a voter registration online system that voters can go to, and our website is www.elections.alaska.gov. And individuals can go there and register to vote online. They do have to have a current valid Alaska driver's license or state ID to use the online portal. And if they don't have that and they still want to register to vote, there's also an opportunity to print off the application there.
Terrific. Well, no excuse, as you said.
Right.
We provide a lot of opportunities to both register to vote and to actually vote.
Right. And there's other places, too, like if somebody moves and changes their address, if you go into the DMV office or to, let's say, the library, they also serve as registrars, so they have forms available and processes at DMV where you can change your voter registration information at the same time.
What do you say to people who don't vote or don't think their vote matters or who think perhaps that this election coming up doesn't matter?
Sure. Every election is important, and especially in our local state elections here, you know, one vote can make a difference. So we want to make sure that people are participating in the electoral process and that they understand what the voting information is about, so they can also go to our website and look at the list of candidates that will be appearing on the primary ballot. There won't be any ballot measures this year on the August primary election. So there's no ballot measures, but they can take a look at which candidates have been certified for the ballot.
And what are the races coming up in the primary election?
Let's see. We have U.S. Representative, governor, lieutenant governor, and then we have a portion of our state house seats that are up because they alternate every other election. And then all of our state House of Representatives seats are up.
Well, that's pretty important.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that folks will get the hint and register to vote and then go and actually vote. I'd like to see a good turnout this
Great.
Year.
Us too.
Yeah. Well, and also I wanted to mention that KTOO will be doing live election coverage on election night, so you can tune in here to get your election results. That's on 104.3. Lori, thanks for being here today. Is there anything else you'd like to share?
No, we just want to encourage people to get out and register so you can get out to vote. And I brought you a little gift, too.
You did.
So if people come to our office, we'll have snacks and beverages available. And here's a sample of a water bottle that we put a sticker on that says Decide Alaska's Future because we want you to vote.
Oh, I like the fireweed logo.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for the gift.
Thanks for having me.
Voter registration open house is Tuesday the 17th from 2 to 5 p.m. in the Region 1 office in the Mendenhall Mall in the Valley. Thanks again, Lori.
Thank
Good
you.
Good luck. You're listening to A Juno Afternoon. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney, and I have to issue a correction. The young actress who was in here earlier, I mentioned a couple times that her name was Cadence Wood, and it's actually Cadence Ward. So I do apologize for misstating her last name. We want to remember Cadence Ward because she's going to be a superstar someday. We'll be right back with Arts Up. You're listening to a Juno Afternoon. It's about 12 minutes to top of the hour. And Nancy DeCherney is here with Arts Up, all the happenings in arts and culture this weekend.
Okay, we got a few things. Let's go. Tonight, 6:30, Pub Theology at Devil's Club Brewing. Everybody's welcome. Everyone has a different theme. I don't know what today's
Pub
is.
Pub Theology? Is that like scripture and beer?
I don't know.
Okay.
You go and talk about important things.
You got to go and see.
Yeah, check it out. This is your last weekend to see 12th Night. It was a very short run. Tonight's performance at 7:30 does have pay-as-you-can tickets at the door, and I do know there are some seats still available. You can buy tickets to all of the 12th Night things, and the Saturday and Sunday shows are looking pretty slim. So if you want to go and don't miss it, it's always fabulous.
Have you seen it yet?
No, I'm a Sunday matinee girl.
Oh, okay. All right. Sounds good.
I like
you don't have to give a review yet.
Yeah, I don't have to give a review, but I know it's going to be fabulous. We have our block party tomorrow night, and the weather is promising.
Yeah.
So we're going to have it outdoors.
All right. Yeah, it's supposed to be mostly sunny tomorrow with highs around 70 degrees.
Yeah, so outdoor block party. It's going to be in the what used to be a lawn in front of Centennial Hall, but is now sort of a gravel area, but that's okay. We'll turn it into something fun. It is Lydia Rail, who has a marvelous voice, and Missouri Smythe, and a few other interesting things will happen. There will be vendors. There's a beer garden. There's going to be information about various things. And there, all sorts of things will be happening. So do come out. Let's have a good old-fashioned outdoor concert for a change. And then you can go off to 12th night after that. And they also have Friday night concerts over at the Flight Deck. So live music over there, too. So you can do that. Saturday, speaking of things like that, there will be a Native Artists Market in that area where we are talking about in front of Centennial Hall as part of the Gold Belt shareholders meeting. But the artist market is open to everyone. So do stop at 9 a.m. on Saturday. Guns and Hoses, it's a charity softball tournament at Diamond Park for Special Olympics going over there. Second Saturday market out at the Airport Mall. Ink making from plants at Color Wheel Arts at 12:30 to 3:30, being taught by Sarah Caldwell. Every other Saturday drawing group is at the Canvas. That's at 4:45. Be there because they slam the door at 5.
Mm.
And then you can see 12th Night. And Sunday, again, is your 2 p.m. 12th Night. So it's kind of a little bit of a slow week, but that's because it's the middle of summer and you have so many other things that you're doing, like catching fish or something, right? And it's going to be a beautiful day, so hope to see everybody out. Do come to the first concert outdoors in a long time.
It sounds like a blast. What time does the music get started?
It starts at 5:30 and it runs until 7. And like I said, there, it's going to be singing and piano music and stuff like that. So it's good for kids. It's bring the family. Bring the dogs.
Yeah.
Do it all.
The block parties look like they've been getting a lot of turnout.
Yeah, the last one for Jeff Brown was a wonderful, wonderful salute to Jeff's retirement.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
It packed the house.
Other things that are going on, it'll give you an opportunity to check in at Centennial Hall to see. We're making a few changes over there. We've started managing the place as of the 1st of July, painting the offices.
Wow.
That's what we're starting with.
What color are you painting them?
Cream color. Very light, light, light white with a teal trim. It's really pretty.
Oh, that sounds lovely. I love teal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay,
everybody
great.
Seems to.
Don't tell me you're out of stuff already.
I am.
Oh, I don't even have to kick you out of the studio.
You don't even have to kick me out screaming. Yes. You know, there is always go to the jahc.org website to get the full calendar with all the details of where you get information. Same calendar is at ktoo.org. And if you'd like to have your things on the calendar, you can email us and we'll get them on for you and help you promote your events.
All right, Nancy.
Cool.
Well, thanks for being here and we'll see you back next week.
This is Bird Note. We've been hearing this cheery song since spring, sometimes as early as 4 a.m. It's the American Robin. The brick red breast and brown back are a familiar sight as the robin sings from the top of a tree or searches for worms on the lawn. But have you recently noticed a similar-sized bird with a boldly spotted breast hopping along with the robins? Most likely this, too, is a robin, a juvenile bird. Baby robins hatch blind, featherless, and helpless. They spend up to 15 days in the nest, gaining size, growing feathers, and preparing for the world outside the nest. By July, many young robins have left the nest or fledged, but they aren't ready to make it entirely on their own, so they follow their parents around while they learn to fend for themselves. At this time of year, you might see a parent robin yank a worm from the grass, hop over, and feed it to the juvenile. The young birds aren't singing yet, but the American robin parents still find time to fill the air with their cheery song. This song and many others on Bird Note come from the Macaulay Library at the Cornell Lab of Ornithology. I'm Mary McCann.
This is The Rock Dog. I host Cross Currents on 102.7 on your dial, FM, KRNN. I tune into KRNN because it represents one of the things we fight for in this country, freedom of expression. I love the variety of shows, a variety of personalities. Tune into KRNN 102.7 FM.
Thank you for tuning in today to a Juno Afternoon. If you missed it, our guests were Kate Inge from the Juno Public Libraries with her weekly update, Enrique Bravo and Cadence Ward here talking about Summer Theater Arts Rendezvous upcoming presentations. Lori Wilson was here from Division of Elections to plug the voter registration open house next Tuesday, July 17th, out in the Valley. And Nancy DeCherney recapped the arts and culture activities coming up this weekend. On tomorrow's show, Pioneers of Alaska will be here to talk about the plaque dedication commemorating the Princess Sophia. COPA will tell us how they're celebrating National Ice Cream Day this weekend. Spoiler alert, there's free ice cream. Morgan Johnson, UAS student, will discuss how she designed the new campus disc golf course. Super interesting stuff. And we'll hear about the Aukman Triathlon coming up next month. Tonight on KTOO at 7 o'clock, we're going to be airing part one of American Public Media special called Order 9066. President Franklin D. Roosevelt signed Executive Order 9066 just months after Japan bombed Pearl Harbor. Some 120,000 people of Japanese ancestry were forced from their homes and sent to one of 10 relocation camps where they were imprisoned for the length of the war. Two-thirds of them were American citizens. So tune in to part one of that tonight, 7 p.m. on KTOO. We're on our summer schedule for the next few weeks. If you'd like to be on a Juno afternoon, go to ktoo.org and click Contact Us. We'll have live shows Wednesday through Fridays and special programming on Mondays and Tuesdays. Today's show will be available on demand online at ktoo.org. Until tomorrow, this has been a Juno afternoon. Have a great Juno evening.